we gather this day on the traditional and unceded territory of the Algonquin Nation.
May we always dwell in this land with respect and peace.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Let us ask God's forgiveness.
Father, forgive.
For the hatred that divides nation from nation, race from race, and class from class.
Father, forgive.
The covetous desires of people and nations to possess what is not their own.
Father, forgive.
The greed which exploits the work of human hands and lays waste to the earth.
Father, forgive.
For our envy of the welfare and happiness of others.
Father, forgive.
For our indifference to the plight of the imprisoned, the homeless, and the refugee.
Father, forgive.
The lust which dishonors the bodies of men, women, and children.
Father, forgive.
The pride which leads us to trust in ourselves and not in God.
Father, forgive.
Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, and forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Before he suffered death upon the cross, give us faith to perceive his glory, that strengthened by his grace, we may be changed into his likeness from glory to glory, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Our first reading this morning is from the book of Genesis. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. But Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, you have given me no offspring, and so a slave born in my house is to be my heir. But the word of the Lord came to him, this man shall not be your heir. No one but your very own issue shall be your heir. He brought him outside and said, look toward heaven and count the stars, if you are able to count them. Then he said to him, so shall your descendants be. And he believed the Lord, and the Lord reckoned it to him as righteousness. Then he said to him, I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to possess. But he said, O Lord God, how am I to know that I shall possess it? He said to him, Bring me a heifer 3 years old, a female goat 3 years old, a ram 3 years old, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. He brought him all these things and cut them in two, laying each half over against the other. But he did not cut the birds in two. And when the birds of prey came down on the carcasses, Abram drove them away. And as the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and a deep and terrifying darkness descended upon him. When the sun had gone down and it was dark, a smoking fire pot and a flaming torch passed between these pieces. On that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, To your descendants I give this land, from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you. Paul to the Philippiens. Tout ensemble, imitez-moi, frères, et fixez votre regard sur ceux qui se conduisent suivant l'exemple que vous avez en nous. Beaucoup, en effet, je vous le disais souvent et le redis maintenant en pleurant, se conduisent en ennemis de la croix du Christ. Leur fin sera la perdition. Leur Dieu, c'est leur ventre et leur gloire. Ils la mettent dans leur honte, eux qui n'ont à cœur que les choses de la terre. Car notre cité à nous est dans les cieux, d'où nous attendons, comme sauveur, le Seigneur Jésus-Christ, qui transfigurera notre corps humilié pour le rendre semblable à son corps de gloire, avec la force qui le rend capable aussi de tout soumettre à son pouvoir. Ainsi donc, frères bien-aimés, que je désire ton revoir, vous, ma joie et ma couronne. Tenez ferme de cette façon dont le Seigneur m'est bien aimé. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Thank you. wants to kill you. He said to them, go and tell that fox for me. Listen, I am casting out demons and performing cures today and tomorrow, and on the third day I finish my work. Yet today and tomorrow and the next day, I must be on my way, because it is impossible for a prophet to be killed outside of Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings? You were not willing. See, your house is left to you, and I tell you, you will not see me until the time comes when you say, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. The Gospel of Christ.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
May I speak to you in the name of Christ, our teacher. Amen. This scene of Jesus looking out over the city is traditionally called Jesus' lament over Jerusalem. And the word lament is not one we use often. You probably haven't used it of yourself, although it's enough in our language that you've probably heard it before. When Jesus is walking along, is this just a sort of resigned comment? Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, and then on he goes? The word lament would suggest actually staying in those feelings of, isn't this just something we have to recognize? The word lament implies being in the feelings. And I identify with his comment about a city that kills its prophets. We live in that kind of time. Jesus has said it before in the passage we call the Beatitudes, one of our best known passages, where he says, blessed are those who persecute you as they did the prophets who came before you. We could think of Jerusalem, or we could think of other cities in our times, particularly in the country to the south of us, where, if not death, at least its life made difficult for protesters of many kinds. And we can even itemize what that's going to look like. It's looking like it already. For people who are transgender, no more support or medication. For students who have protested the stripping of degrees. For poor people, the removal of financial supports, not just for health, but for food. And people detained after the fact for things it was legal to protest at the time. I'm thinking particularly of a man named Mahmoud Khalil, who has been detained, and the latest news is that there will be many more to come. So I feel for Americans as they lament what is happening to them. Now, I've tried to stay focused on being a hopeful person, and hope is about, you know, things getting better and better, but things are not looking better. Lately, I've been thinking about my American friends, and many of you have American friends and indeed American family members. So I'm thinking of mine, and I called one of my American friends. This is a friend I see once a year on the bike ride I do, the charitable bike ride I do every summer in August. a gay man who lives in a small university town in the American Southwest. And he has described to me how beautiful it is there and how progressive his town is in a sea of intolerance. So I was thinking about him and I reached out. And at that point, I was talking a lot about hope because I need to feel hopeful that things will get better. And he set me straight. He said, no, he cannot hope. He cannot see anything to be hopeful about. And to talk about hope is offensive when what you are feeling is hopeless and all he can do is lament. I realized that I resist lament. I guess I want to think of myself as a person of action and sitting in my feelings, you know, sitting in sackcloth of discouragement seems unproductive, and so I'd rather look ahead and move along and be hopeful. And my friend helped me to think differently. So I've been thinking about lament. And I've noticed that our scriptures have many opportunities about being in your feelings and staying there. Jesus does it, and I'll give three examples. There's here where he's lamenting over Jerusalem because many prophets were killed there. And he sees where this is going. He weeps at the tomb of Lazarus. And it's not just a passing tear. He is in sorrow at the loss of his friend. And then, after that final supper with the disciples, he is in the garden. It's called the agony in the garden, because he prays that God would take this cup from him, but if it's God's will, he will drink it anyways. And I don't imagine that prayer being, you know, a 30-second thought. Lament is about being in the feelings you're feeling. And Jesus is in a long line of voices of lament. The prophet Jeremiah is colloquially called the weeping prophet, and he has chapters of lament. Indeed, there's a whole book in the Bible called the Lamentations of Jeremiah, because they wanted to set some of them aside and say, this is lament. Another story is David's lament at the death of his beloved Jonathan. And it's quoted in verse form. David speaking here, Jonathan lies slain upon your high places. I am distressed for you, my brother Jonathan. Greatly beloved were you to me. Your love to me was wonderful, passing the love of women. David is in his feelings of sorrow, and he's not hiding from his feelings. The Psalms are full of lament, and I want to draw your attention to one of the best known because it's amplified in the songs of popular culture, Psalm 137. By the rivers of Babylon where we sat down, yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. They carried us away in captivity, requiring of us a song. Now how shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? Now, actually, the Psalms are songs, so this is a song about not being able to sing songs. All of these accounts are about acknowledging when you are in emotional pain and staying with your pain. Now, they're not all exactly the same emotion. They differ from each other. These are different stories. But maybe in that case, we need a definition for lament. Lament is a form of prayer that acknowledges and expresses sorrow, pain, and confusion in the presence of God. Lament is a way to process grief and seek God's love, compassion, and peace during difficult times. Lament is honoring and accepting what you feel. It's staying in your feelings rather than trying to paper over cracks with false smiles, avoidance. And we do know this idea of staying with our feelings from other parts of our lives. There's a model called the Kubler-Ross model about the stages of grief. It's a model because the book is so famous. Elizabeth Kubler-Ross wrote On Death and Dying in 1968, and her five steps have become pervasive in our culture. Here are the five steps in grieving: denial, anger, bargaining, depression, acceptance. And the reality is that you are in the stage you are in. You can't rush through the stages just by deciding you want to. It's called a model, the Kubler-Ross model, because it's become so pervasive, and some have said it's even overused. That in fact, they aren't really stages that you go through in order. You could have lost a loved one to death and reached acceptance years ago, and some thought will pop into your head, and you'll be back at anger that you lost your loved one. So the stages aren't progression, they're places of grieving. Jesus was in the place of lament in this reading we've just had. And so what did Jesus do with his lamentation? He named it. He stayed in it. But he also continued his regular practices. He says, when they come to tell him Herod is out to get him, that he is going to continue to heal and teach. And the next thing he does is organize the meal he's going to share with his disciples, that meal we call the Last Supper. So he moves into the path he's already in. What do we do with our lamentation? And I can think of the things that would be facets of our lamentation in this time. So there's Canada, and as Prime Minister Trudeau described it, a betrayal by a supposed friend. There's decimation in parts of the world that we have prayed for months. Ukraine and Gaza. There's the dejection of our American friends who either did not vote for this government or didn't vote knowing what they were going to get. And there's the annexation subtext of the back and forth about tariffs. These are all facets of public lament in our time. And to them, you could add your own personal laments. The people you love who you have lost. A person who is becoming less able due to age. Or even your own aging, the things that you used to do and you can't do anymore. The canal ice is gone, so you don't have to think about that one until next year. But I'm thinking about it. There are the things we can no longer do, and we could lament that we can't do them anymore. So there are public themes of lamentation and your personal ones. And what do we do about that? We can't really go back to how life was 2 months ago. I mean, according to the stages of grieving, that would be denial, right? To try and go back and act as if the past 2 months haven't happened. What then do we do with our lamentation? What are our prospects? If we look to Jesus in recognition of his practice of lament, we can also look towards healthy practices of our own. Gentleness. Be gentle with yourself in the feelings you feel. Support each other. And by this, I don't mean you have to know everyone's business or details of their pain. We just know that sitting next to us or in the row behind us, someone is carrying something. And you have an attitude of supportive love, even if we don't know the specifics. In fact, we're creating a supportive space together. It's a building that's been prayed in since 1890. The support echoes off of the wood, and it will be prayed in for a long time to come. This is a supportive place for your personal lamentation. We also have something called agency. This is the capacity to do the things you can do. Agency is that. You actually do have some control over what you're going to do with the rest of today and tomorrow and this week. Life hasn't ended. Keep on bringing your used clothes for the thrift shop. Keep saying your daily prayers. Come to the Lent reflection and drink deeply from the story about living water. Do the things that are your life. Jesus probably knew, looking out over Jerusalem, that his story was going to take the turn it took, but he didn't back down from it. He continued his life with courage. He was committed to his path, and there was no backing down. What about your path? Are you committed to it? Is there a different path you would choose to be on? Is there a change you would make? So none of us know what is ahead, but it is okay to be in our feelings. Lamentation is prayer that seeks God's love, compassion, and peace in difficult times. So be in your feelings and be here for God's love and compassion and peace. Amen.
Thank you. with all our heart and all our mind. Let us pray to the Lord, saying, Lord, have mercy. For the peace of this world, torn apart by new wars and conflicts, grant that your children will know respite, that the guns will fall silent, and we may taste peace in our days. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord,
have mercy. For our Prime Minister, for the leaders of nations, and all those who wield authority over us, intervene, turn their hearts, and let them know wisdom. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord,
have mercy. For the good earth, which all creatures share as the gift of life from their Creator, grant the land rest in the shelter of your jubilee, that all generations may know its abundance and providence. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord,
have mercy. For the poor and the oppressed, for the unemployed and the destitute, for those stricken with fear and anxiety, grant some measure of your redemption, that they might know circumstance transformed. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord,
have mercy. For the helpers and providers, all those who spend themselves in care and service, grant them knowledge of your person and comfort and firmness in their purpose. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord,
have mercy. And finally, for all of us, Lord, who through our Lenten journey strive to know you more deeply, grant us a glimpse of your glory, that our nature may be changed into your likeness. In the communion of the Holy Spirit, let us commend ourselves and one another to Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Descendent de ce pays, demeure parmi vous et il demeure à jamais.